Welcome back in. Final hour of Robbie and Rex Road here on 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rex Road. Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Tuesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. And we go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And welcome in our friend Stephen Holder now with ESPN. Stephen, what's going on? How are we doing?
Hey, how are you guys?
We're great. Good. Appreciate you taking time to be with us this morning. So, Stephen, I want to start on the Deshaun Watson front. Six-game suspension obviously announced yesterday. Number one, what did you think of that total? Was that about where you thought it would be? What did you make of the reaction to that? And do you think that the NFL decides to pursue this any further from here? I believe they have until Thursday morning at 9 o'clock Eastern time to decide whether or not they want to do so.
Yeah, so for me, I think my expectation was I didn't really have an expectation because it was just really difficult to project what this singular person might decide and how.
I think we lost Steven. He got very loud.
I hope he's okay. That sounded like a
yeah. We'll get Steven.
Let's just hope he's okay.
Hope Steven's okay. We'll get Steven back on the phone here shortly.
On the Watson thing, I was going to ask Steven. Yeah, Nancy Armour had a good comment USA Today about like the fact that the NFL talked to four women. To me, is bizarre.
Yeah, it's really weird. But we'll get Steven's thoughts on that now. Let's go back to our phone line. Steven, sorry we lost connection with you there. Just again, your thoughts on Deshaun Watson.
Yeah, you know, I never lose connection when, like, telemarketers call me.
That's right. That's right.
It only happens, like, on really important phone calls, you know?
It's I'm weird honored that you is. Think you know, that we're even remotely me. Important.
Right. When someone calls me trying to buy my house that's not for sale, you know? Anyway.
Like, I can't hear you.
Yeah. Exactly. So, anyway, Deshaun Watson, I think this, when you have an arbitrator and when it's a singular person dealing with this, it's really hard to have any real expectation because it's just that one person, right? I think that what my reaction was, though, is that if you read the report from the arbitrator, I think what she outlines there is kind of interesting because it kind of agrees with the assessment of the NFL and how the NFL viewed this whole thing. And yet, her penalty in terms of the suspension couldn't be further from what the NFL asked for. So he clearly violated the personal conduct policy, clearly was saw the violations in the same light as the NFL and Roger Goodell and company, but yet the penalty was so out of line with what they were asking for. So that's the part for me that was a little confusing. I think it for the NFL's in terms of how to move forward for the NFL, I think for them what they have to decide is, look, they're getting beat up here either way, okay? Right now, the public opinion, even though it's not necessarily fair because this wasn't a Roger Goodell decision, and I'm not one to defend Roger Goodell, but this isn't his decision, but they're getting beat up because from the outside looking in, people are saying, here's the NFL going soft on domestic violence or you know, sort of sexual violence and things of that nature on the one hand. On the other hand, you know, is it going to be – are they going to maybe lessen some of that criticism if Roger Goodell does intervene here? I think you could make the argument that he does. And I don't mean to make this all about public perception and about politics and optics and those things, but let's be honest. It always is with the NFL, right? So let's not pretend that the optics are not a big part of the equation here. They are. So I just think if that's a big part of the decision for the league, then I think Roger Goodell probably does intervene here.
Yeah, well, I thought Nancy Armour brought up a good point in her column USA Today, Stephen. I think the NFL talked to four women in putting this together. Like, why not talk to everyone? And she wondered aloud. Does the NFL ultimately have hesitation just because, like it or not, Deshaun Watson is going to be one of the faces of the league in the next few years?
It's kind of a delicate thing, isn't it? Because, you know, I can envision a scenario where I'm not necessarily envisioning this for the Browns given their recent history, but let's just say they win a conference championship or some such, mm-hmm. and, you know, you have you have a post-game scenario where Deshaun Watson standing up there holding the trophy, you know, let alone the Super Bowl, and Roger Goodell having to hand him a Lombardi trophy, right? What would that be like? And so they certainly are open up to future criticism because he – look, the Browns are all in here. Let's not pretend that he's not going to be a factor. The Browns have already committed. They have already made their statement and said their piece, and they've done it with their checkbook here. So I agree with you. I do think it does put the league in a delicate position because it is what it is at this point. They can't put the genie back in the bottle. All right, Deshaun Watson is going to be the face of the Cleveland Browns, like it or not. So at the end of the day, they're a very big, you know, part of the NFL. They're one of 32 teams, and the NFL has to acknowledge that. So I don't know. There's no good outcome, really, I think, for the NFL.
Stephen Holder on with us here on Robbie and Rex Road. So, Stephen, what have been your impressions of Matt Ryan thus far, both on the field, what he's brought to the Colts, and off the field as well? What have you noticed from Matt Ryan during his short time in Indy thus far?
I have really enjoyed getting to learn about Matt Ryan, you know, because I've been covering the AFC for most of, you know, the last 9 or 10 years, and, you know, you don't see the NFC players necessarily as much. And so, especially in Atlanta in recent years, because, you know, what's been going on there in recent years? Nothing. No one's talked about the Falcons the last 3 years. So, anyhow, it's been a little bit of an education for me. From afar, I thought Matt Ryan was this nice guy who just kind of said all these nice platitudes and had, you know, had some talent. And what I've learned is, and this is my story today on ESPN.com, what I've learned is that, no, this guy is cutthroat and that he is much more like Peyton Manning than I ever thought. And what I mean by that is he is uncompromising. Okay, this guy, he doesn't give anybody a break. He's in your face, and I'm talking about his teammates. And even with the coaching staff, with Frank Reich and his staff, he has definitely pushed the envelope to say, hey, here's how I want to do things, and this is really important to me. And they have complied with a lot of it, you know, to a certain extent, so because they trust him. So I just think there's really been a top-to-bottom influence from Matt Ryan already, even a week into training camp, much more so than I ever anticipated.
What are your impressions of the guys catching passes from him so far, Stephen?
I think that's the biggest question, and it's an unanswered question for right now. They're off to a good start. I think Michael Pittman is perhaps the most underrated player on the Colts roster, and I think he is unquestionably their number one receiver. I think he's going to be the real deal. Now, behind him, that's where you have questions. You have the second-round pick, Alec Pierce. They're really excited about him. I understand why. I see it. He's impressive as an athlete. He's impressive in terms of the consistency of his hands so far. But we, you know, we have to see more. And I think he's got to do it. Today the pads go on, right? He's got to do that with press coverage and with a long, you know, 6'2", skillful quarterback all over him, right? Can he do that? Those are the questions we have to see, or we have to get answers to. But I think there's a lot of reasons to be excited and optimistic. The tight ends, that I have questions about, but they have certainly acquired a lot of talent at that position. It's just very, very young and unproven. But I think they have talent, and we just have to see more. It's really going to be a proving ground for all the pass catchers. The best thing they have going for them, okay, the best thing they have going for them is Matt Ryan. I think that can take you a long way. An accurate quarterback who's demanding, who's going to basically pull you up to his level, they don't have a choice. They have to get on his level, and I think that's the way it should be.
So, Stephen, with all that in mind, how do you view where the Colts, and I'll throw the Titans in there too, where those two teams in the AFC South fit into an AFC landscape, which we've talked to you about before, has changed so much this offseason and has improved, on paper at least, so dramatically? How do you think the Colts and the Titans fit into that picture?
I think they still have a lot to prove. I mean, I think all these teams in the AFC, for the most part, I think Buffalo and Kansas City, they have made their statements, right? We know what they are. But even a team like Denver, a team like the Chargers, for example, right? They look good on paper. We still have to see it all come together. They have a lot of talent, but they have to put it all together. I would say the Colts and Titans are a little bit in that sort of tier, if you will. I think on paper they look very good, and there's a lot of reasons to like them, but you can't just rubber stamp it. You know, and I think the Titans have been there, certainly more recently than the Colts. The Titans have certainly advanced into the postseason much further. But this offseason did create some questions. A.J. Brown creates some questions, and that departure, you know, where is Ryan Tannehill? You know, in terms of Derrick Henry, you know, can he still be the guy that he was? I mean, there's just questions about both of those teams that you're talking about in the AFC South. I do think the Colts have gone in the other direction from the Titans this offseason. The Titans have to prove that they made progress this offseason. I think it's pretty clear the Colts have progressed. They're a better team. I'm not saying they're going to be in the AFC Championship, but I think on paper, I think they're a better team right now than they were last season. I think it's harder to say about the Titans just because there have been more questions created. So I'm very interested to see, you know, how they address those questions when, you know, the actual games get started.
Stephen Holder from ESPN, our guest here on Robbie and Rex Road. Stephen, great stuff as always, man. Really appreciate you making time to be with us this morning.
Okay, guys. You take care.
Absolutely. You as well. Stephen Holder, our guest here on Robbie and Rex Road. We'll take your reaction, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. More discussion on the Titans coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game. What can $20 get you today? It can get you a lot of things, but it can also buy a brand new pair of athletic shoes for a homeless child in Middle Tennessee. Yep, just $20, and we're on a mission to help the thousands of homeless children start the school year with a new pair of shoes. Will you join us in that effort? Just text DONATE to 615-737-1025. Once again, that's DONATE to 615-737-1025. And throw in $20. You can throw in more if you'd like, but $20 is what we're asking for to make a huge difference in the life of a child. Text DONATE to 615-737-1025 right now, and let's make that first day of school even more special for these kids. Thank you so much for your support. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063 The Game. We are streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. Our video streaming brought to you by the Law Offices of Amanda Gentry. We are live from the Hillside Medical Game Studio on this Tuesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Joe Rex Road is on his way to Titans training camp right now, day two of the pads today for the Titans in training camp. Joe, had Stephen Holder on in the last segment. What do you make of kind of his assessment on the Titans and the Colts and exactly where they fit in the AFC right now?
Well, I agree with him. I can see some Titans fans taking issue with what he said about comparing the off seasons of the Titans and Colts. But look, especially from the Colts' perspective, A.J. Brown was a guy who tormented them. You know, A.J. Brown had multiple games against the Colts. Now, of course, he also dropped a TD pass in one of those games that the Titans lost, but he was just a guy who they just struggled with. And so from that perspective, you know, whether you are a Colts fan, the Colts, someone who covers the Colts, you take away A.J. Brown from the other team, and you're naturally going to think, okay, so how did they get better? This offseason. Now, look, I do think the Titans have made some adds that can potentially make them better. We've talked about how I think the variety of weapons around Tannehill could be better. Certainly the tight end room, it'll be a lot better. But the idea of it looks like the Colts improved more than the Titans did on paper because the Titans are about to be leaning on a rookie to replace their best receiver.
Well, and to that point, we brought this up earlier in the show. Treylon Burks has been lighting it up so far in camp. He had another couple touchdowns yesterday, and, you know, it's a week at this point, over a week, where he has been a factor out there on a consistent basis. So in your mind, I don't want to overreact. It's training camp. You know how I feel about training camp practices and practices as a whole. But when you start to stack days, I start to pay attention to it a little bit more. What does Treylon Burks and what he's been able to do thus far in the training camp and as impressive as he's been, what does that actually mean to you in terms of trying to project what he's going to be to begin the season for the Titans?
Well, it certainly means something. I have to put a decent amount of stock in. It's basically the best-case scenario at this point and it's more surprising. I think Glennon put it well earlier. It's probably more striking because of how worst-case scenario just about the spring was for Treylon Burks.
Yeah.
So the contrast maybe makes it more dramatic than it is, but the bottom line is the guy is – he's just a different level of size, speed, you know, the wonderful football term I love very much, catch radius. He has a ridiculous catch radius. You know, Tannehill used that term recently.
Beautiful.
Beautiful. Yes. And look, he catches everything. His hands are great. There's some things you couldn't even figure out in the spring because he wasn't doing anything. He catches everything. He can go up and point the ball. I think that the end fade with him might be as, you know, viable for the Titans as a red zone option, you know, as they've had in a while. They didn't really do that a ton with Corey Davis. He would have been, you know, he was kind of that guy, but just Burks just seems to be a guy who, you know, when he's jostling with a cornerback, he's probably going to win. He might get called for OPI sometimes, but he's really strong. He is, as they may say, country strong.
That's right.
He is a hog hunter. So, no, it's been very encouraging, and he's getting all that extra time. And as long as there's nothing else that gets in the way of him participating every day and doing this stuff, he keeps, to me, trending toward – I mean, I think it will mean something. I think it will mean that the season starts and you could really see, you know, a three-man rotation, not just Westbrook, Akina, and Woods, but that Burks could be right in there with them. And that should just help them a lot to be able to have him. And I think it'll still be like A.J. Brown. It'll probably be like the nuances and, you know, there's going to be ups and downs as a rookie, but he might just be a key guy from the start. And I would not have guessed that at all going into camp.
Well, and Tannehill put this out there yesterday. I mean, the offense did not play as well as he hoped yesterday. In the first day of pads, I think the quote was it wasn't clean enough from the offense yesterday. But one thing that I think is really important, and again, we're only a week in, so we'll see if this can continue to be the case. But so far, Joe, I mean, you've had Treylon Burks out there every day. Robert Woods has been out there. Nick Westbrook-Akeen has been out there. Austin Hooper's been out there. Chig Okonkwo's been out there. Like the guys that Tannehill is going to be throwing the ball to once the season begins, they've been out there, they've been on the field, they've been developing some of that chemistry. And is that everything? No. But it is important, and he didn't get a whole lot of that last year in training camp with A.J. Brown and Julio Jones. And it was way less of a big deal with A.J. Brown because there was an established familiarity and relationship there anyway. But there wasn't a whole lot of time with Julio Jones out there on the field last year. And look, that, you know, that was kind of a precursor to the season from Julio anyway. But I do think it's important from the standpoint of them all being out there and available from a timing standpoint, from a trust standpoint, the fact that Burks and Woods and Hooper and all these different guys have been out there and available thus far at the skill positions, I think is a big deal. And if you can continue to stack days and weeks on that regard, then that's how, to me, you build some pretty meaningful rapport together in a training camp session.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, the receiving core, like the tight ends, thought they'd be better. I'm probably a little bit surprised by how good Chig Okonkwo has looked. But that's another one of those, it is practice. Let's see within the framework of a game plan and inline blocking. That's what we're really going to find out about him here in the short term. But the receiving core, overall, you start with Burks, of course. But I mean, even like Des Fitzpatrick, Racy McMath, both better, without question. Look, Cody Hollister and Mason Kinsey, like those guys are out there pushing to earn jobs. Kyle Phillips, he has not had the ball a lot, but the feet are as advertised. So actually, it's like the receiving core, like going in, we talked about, wow, I remember last year they had all these guys, and it was wow, now it's like, who do they have? Well, it doesn't look that way to me anymore. And that's competition, too. And it's going to be really intriguing at the bottom of the room. But the bigger question is still, in the season, do you have enough guys on Sunday you feel really good about with Tannehill? And that looks better, too, without question. Like I said, Okonkwo is, as much as the offensive line is, really something that's going to be sorted out here. We're going to see if there's competition. We're going to see if those guys, those new guys especially, can block the excellent defensive players of Titans. You know, this is also, is Chigakonko a guy who you can put in any situation and not be tipping your hand? You know, he's got to be able to block well enough for that to be the case, and so pads will be big for him.
Let's quickly go to the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Got a texture that says, can Treylon Burks be our Calvin Johnson? What say you, Joe Rexroad? No pressure.
Whoa, pump those brakes. pump those brakes. You know, Calvin Johnson is, you know, like other great players who have had the misfortune of playing with the Detroit Lions, I think it's really underrated. Like, that guy was...
He's one of the greatest receivers of all time.
Without question. I mean, outrageously big, fast, and dominant. So, I'm not seeing Calvin Johnson in Treylon Burks. I will say the big thing that I thought would be downgrade from A.J. Brown to Treylon Burks, which is the quickness of the feet. I will say that I've been impressed with from training. I'm not saying he's AJ Brown. He's going to be the next AJ Brown stuff. But that was the one thing I thought. See, there's where there's going to be a big difference. It's not as big as I thought, just based on the naked eye. Like he's been good in just anything you want to look at. You would assume he'd be a good blocker, and you know how important that is.
Oh yeah.
You know, but you would assume that he would be effective in this offense, and you got to be able to do that. Robert Woods, one of the highest-ranked blockers in the NFL last couple of years. So, hey, man, those Derrick Henry 30-yarders that turn into 60-yarders, you know why they do.
Great blocking. Has to take place. No question about it. Joe, have fun at training camp. We'll catch up with you here in just a few minutes.
Sounds good.
All right. We'll continue the discussion on the Titans. Michelle Knezovic and I will take over coming up next. Got more of your thoughts to get to on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. This week's Nashville's Best Deal is from River Queen Voyages. River Queen Voyages gives you the best views of the city with skyline kayaking, river scavenger hunts, and a party pontoon with your own captain. Get half off a $50 gift card at thegamenashville.com/deals while supplies last. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road here on 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Tune in for Nashville Sounds Baseball tonight at 5:35 on 94.9 The Fan. The Sounds are on the road facing the Norfolk Tides, the AAA affiliate of the Baltimore Orioles. Sounds Baseball on 94.9 The Fan, presented by 312 Pizza and Farm Bureau Health Plans. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Robbie Stanley alongside Michelle Knezovic here with you. Joe Rex Road en route to Titans training camp. We'll catch up with him again here in just a few minutes live from St. Thomas Sports Park. So, Michelle, we brought this up earlier, and I'm interested to get your thoughts on it as well. We've talked so much this offseason about Ryan Tannehill and the moves the Titans have made. Where do they fit in the AFC picture? And we threw out the question earlier, and there's been a ton of different responses to it. How would you define a success for this Titans team? So, Michelle Knezovic, I ask you, how would you define a success for this Titans team heading into the 2022 season?
Well, I feel like you have to look at it, you kind of have to take a step back and not even think about last season, right? Because you can't have that affect this season because, you know, it's over, you didn't go to the Super Bowl, so just scratch that out, right? Okay. Going into last season, you had no idea that you were going to be the one seed, and throughout the season you thought, no, you're not going to win the same, you're not going to win this game, and they prevailed and all of that. So when you take a look at this year and you take a look at what you lost, right? You lost A.J. Brown. But I think through the first couple weeks of training camp, you've realized that, oh, you actually have more offensive weapons for Ryan Tannehill. Maybe nobody at the caliber of A.J. Brown, but you kind of have quantity over quality, I guess you could put it. So that, I think, is pretty promising. Your defense, I would say, got better, right? You have everybody that pass rush returning, Bud Dupree another year under his belt, Jeffrey Simmons really emerging. I think that the team success would be winning your division and at least one playoff game. You know, obviously, if you get the one seed, that's very successful, but I wouldn't count on that because
it's going to be hard to do.
It's a hard thing to do, especially with, you know, the Bills look really promising. But I would say you need to win that playoff game. And I had this conversation with Junie on our podcast, actually, and I said one playoff game, but, you know, Ryan Tannehill has to perform in that playoff game.
For sure.
Because I think that even if you win one playoff game and he throws one interception, people will be fuming.
Yeah, I mean, he's got to play well. Like, and beyond just playing well, like, he's got to take care of the football, and he's got to make important throws in important moments. And I think as I look through the playoff history, I think you can scope out ever since he's been here in 2019. He's made a lot of big-time throws. Like, he's made a lot of big plays, especially in the regular season, in big moments. In the playoffs, you know, one thing that we probably don't talk about enough, the last three playoff games that they've played in, so the 2019 AFC title game in Kansas City, the one they lost here in 2020, I guess that would be technically 2021, against Baltimore at home, and then last year against Cincinnati. You know, Tannehill hasn't played as well as they've needed him to play in those games, but those three games have also been influenced by the fact that the other team has shut down Derrick Henry. Like, they have done, you know, as well as you can of slowing Derrick Henry down. They've done that. Baltimore never let him got going. Cincinnati never really let him got going last year, although it is a different situation with him coming off the broken foot. So I do understand that in last year's part of it. Kansas City in the AFC title game, you know, he had absolutely destroyed New England and Baltimore in the two games before that, and Kansas City never let him got going, and Tannehill has not been able to rise up and perform in those moments when that's been the case. Like, if teams have been able to shut down Derrick Henry, which is hard to do, but they've done it in the last three playoff games, if that happens again, Ryan Tannehill has to play well enough and has to make good enough decisions with the football to be able to overcome that. And I think it's a fair question if you're a Titans fan to ask, okay, well, that sounds great, but can he do it? Because we've not seen him do it to this point. So that's probably part of this that we haven't discussed a whole lot that we probably should more. Like, the last three playoff games, Derrick Henry's been shut down, and that's obviously been the game plan. And my guess is if the Titans make the playoffs again this year, that'll be the game plan again for whoever their opponent is. So can Tannehill rise up in those moments if all the attention is on Derrick Henry and make big throws then? That to me is what a lot of it's going to come down to.
And I agree with you, Robbie. You know, we can look at it, right, and talk about it so many different times about, well, actually they shut down Derrick Henry, and that was a big factor in why the team didn't win. But unfortunately, the way a lot of people look at it is if Ryan Tannehill performs well or if he doesn't, that is going to be a big picture on whether it is a successful season. Even just the year I've been in Nashville, when I started last summer, I can remember that, I think it was a Mike Greenberg quote, and it's like, Ryan Tannehill is the most
underrated player in professional sports.
Yeah, so that is where I started. And in 1 year time, not even on the second tier of quarterbacks, right? You know what I mean? It is just drastically changed in 1 year. And a lot of it has to do with just that one Cincinnati game, because that's the conversation surrounding him, that everybody thought they were going to go to the Super Bowl. And you really just, you can't not capitalize off that opportunity. So I think that the success of this team, you can look at the defense, you can look at all these weapons on offense, but ultimately it's going to come down to how Ryan Tannehill performs.
Well, and Dennis brought this up earlier on our text line, and we've mentioned it a few times, but I do think it bears repeating. Like, one thing that I expect, kind of a regression to the mean this year, like, they were so hurt last year. I mean, we've talked about it so much. You know, they used 93 guys or whatever it was, NFL record. Like, that's not going to happen this year. Like, they're not going to be as hurt. Now, one thing that has been really good for them is ever since Tannehill's taken over as a starter, he's been healthy and he's been available, and that was not the case his last couple of years in Miami. So they've done a good job of keeping him healthy, and he's shown, I think, some really incredible toughness during that time period as well. But I would expect that the injuries, hopefully, if you're the Titans this year, not as big of a story, So what does that mean in their bottom line? Like, they were 12-5 last year. They were the number one seed. You know, with the schedule that they've got this year, it's hard for me to picture them going 12-5 again. I think the schedule's really tough, and especially with some of the quarterbacks that they have to play. But how much will being presumably healthier? I mean, we talked about that in the last segment with your targets in training camp. They're already off to a better start than they were last year because they're on the field and they're available for Ryan Tannehill to start to build that chemistry with. You know, we'll see on the offensive line and that's you know, that stuff. But how much of a difference can being healthy make for this Tennessee team? And obviously, you have to have key guys healthy too. You can't have Derrick Henry going down again. Certainly can't have Tannehill going down. That's going to be a part of this discussion as well.
Well, and Teresa Walker, when we had her on last week and she was on for an entire hour before training camp started, that was one of her big points, that what we saw last year was just completely outrageous, right?
It really was.
Every other week, right? Oh, another random guy, right? Oh, another running back, another this position, that position. And I don't think we really realized how, like, now we're out of it, right? We're out of the season. We can look at it that team, I mean, every week another player was added to.
That New England game last year, the number one, it was Nick Westbrook-Ikhina and Cody Hollister as the two wide receivers.
Like, what? And you have Julio Jones and A.J. Brown on your team. Yeah. And that's what you hope, right, in training camp. Robbie, I think you had a great point earlier today, and just if we can see these tight ends, wide receivers consistently on the field, just looking at the offense for Ryan Tannehill, that's going to be huge. I mean, we barely even saw AJ or Julio in training camp last year.
Yeah, I know. And it's a much different story so far. Now you got to keep that up. Like, you can't all of a sudden this week have some injuries and that derails you that way. But so far they're off to a good start in that regard. Junie on the text line says, I see this season being a success if the Titans three-peat as AFC South champions and make the playoffs. Realistically, to me, the Titans got worse when the AFC got better. I see them at a 9 or 10 win team and a fringe playoff team. If they beat out the Colts and make it in the playoffs in this super conference, that should be a success. This is coming from Junie on the text line. I largely agree with that. I know that if the Titans fans as a whole, if they make the playoffs this year and they're one and done again, it's not going to go well.
They're going to be mad. And yeah. I think the Colts too, right? Talking to Stephen Holder, Junie brought up the Colts. He is not the first person that I've heard relate Matt Ryan to Peyton Manning's mentality, the way he approaches the game. And I mean, that is no small comparison.
It is not.
Right? So you hear that, and heck, if that is the comparison, I'm expecting this guy to be an absolute dog, which I don't really think. So I think it's going to come down also to, you got to beat the Colts at least once, right? And I mean, there might only be one playoff spot for AFC South.
Look, I could be wrong, and you know, evidence on this show would tell you I'm wrong probably about 50% of the time.
But you are right a lot.
But I am right a lot too. Like, I could be totally wrong, but unless Matt Ryan is just a different guy than he's been the last couple of years, and maybe he is with a new supporting cast, some of the hype coming out of Indy right now for Matt Ryan, I don't buy it.
Like, he's not the next Peyton Manning, guys.
Yeah, like, I mean, he's a great player. He's been a great player throughout his career. He's 37 years old. I don't know, man. I'll believe it when I see it at that point. Some quick updates from Titans training camp. Ben Arthur of the Tennessean putting it out there. No sign of Bud Dupree at training camp today, and Elijah Molden as well. We'll see on the Dupree part. I mean, you're going to see some veterans as camp continues to go along here. Miss some days, so it doesn't necessarily mean that anything's really going on with Bud Dupree, but I'm sure Vrabel will be asked about that later. But this is yet another day with Elijah Molden. So the Molden thing starting to become a pretty big concern if you're the Titans out there. We'll catch up with Joe Rexroad live from Titans training camp coming up next. This is Robbie and Rexroad, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rexrode here on 102.5-106.3 The Game. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rexrode, Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Tuesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Our Titans training camp coverage presented by USA Hemp Store and Parman Energy, your one-stop petroleum solution. We now go out to St. Thomas Sports Park live at Titans training camp and welcome Joe Rexrode back into the program. Joe, I want to start with a report that A to Z Sports just put out there that says quote, sources tell A to Z Sports that Titans offensive lineman Jamarco Jones went after Taylor Lewan before practice on Tuesday. Confrontation was de-escalated quickly, and Vrabel kicked Jones out of practice. Apparently, Jamarco Jones has jogged back out there onto the fields after the warm-ups. But what do you make of that? Getting a little spicy out there today at Titans camp.
I like it. Yeah, it looks like he's out here. Well, you know, Lewan can rub people the wrong way.
Yes, he can.
Sometimes even guys at his position. Right as – I don't know if you heard my sound right when I came back, but it was probably – they're doing one-on-ones right now, receiver, DB, and probably as good as you could cover someone, Roger McCreary on Traylon Burks, but Burks still – got just enough space to make a catch. I mean, it was a heck of a just an all-around play by both. And then Kyle Phillips just completely cooked Chris Jackson in the open field. So got some entertaining stuff going on, but apparently not as entertaining as before practice.
Apparently not. So we'll see if Vrabel has anything to say on that front. Looking like no Elijah Molden out there, Cody Hollister, Tommy Hudson, and Briley Moore as well.
Glennon says, and I haven't been able to count everybody up here, but it's no Bud Dupree too.
Correct.
So now sometimes you know you miss someone and then they pop up, but it looks like maybe he's not out here too.
So day number two of pads out there for the Titans. As this week continues, Joe, what are you looking for out there with the pads on? What's kind of the scouting eye of Joe Rexrode that you're looking for today at Titans training camp?
Well, like I said earlier, Chigakonkwo for sure. You know, how's he look as a blocker? He's going to obviously get a lot of opportunities to catch the ball in camp. He's going to get opportunities during the season to catch the ball. He's going to get more opportunities to catch the ball if he's also able to be an effective enough blocker, as an inline blocker at tight end. And that helps them go to tight end more, which has been the most successful approach they've had, you know, a couple years ago with Arthur Smith. So that's something. And then it just the you know, that's a great look for these offensive linemen. Going against these, you know, this defensive front. So I'm definitely watching. Well, I'm going to watch Jamarco Jones today, that's for sure. I mean, I guess I was going to anyway, but see how that goes. See if we get any reps with him and Juan next to each other.
It's not really training camp until there's a nice altercation one way or the other.
And usually what you expect is, like if you told me Jamarco Jones in an altercation, I'd be like, okay, so with Jeffrey Simmons then.
Yep.
Because, you know, Simmons gets intense, of course, out here, but you know, seeing can he make a push at all? What kind of reps is he getting? Same thing with Raidens and Nicholas Petit-Frere. You know, is there any? I mean, it's about that stuff right now. You know, other things though, like Hassan Haskins, for example, with pads on. You know, how's he look? You know, he had some good moments last week, but is he looking like more and more like a guy who, you know, could, if not get a lot of carries, at least a guy they feel good about if they do, you know, lose Derrick Henry for any period of time. That's somebody you're looking for. You're looking for some of the linebacker depth too. How's Chance Campbell playing out there, for example? You know, in pads, because obviously they got to develop that depth, especially with Monty Rice on PUP.
They've got the Titans on NFL Network right now, and they just showed Traylon Burks' catch on the sideline and Kyle Phillips cooking Chris Jackson like there. So.
There you go.
Good start for the receivers. Like you said, Joe, like people make a lot out of the one-on-ones. The one-on-ones really should be won by the offense most of the time.
Exactly. Like if you win one of those as a DB, either you've done extremely well or, you know, the receiver didn't. But yeah, it's designed for the offense to win. But, I mean, Kyle Phillips really won.
He won significantly. I don't think there's any question about that. So – how are you – and we got John Glennon's thoughts on this a little bit earlier. How are you viewing the offensive line right now, particularly with those two spots? Todd Downing did say earlier that they're not in any rush to cement the left guard or the right tackle position in terms of who's starting. You know, I'm sure the practices against Tampa Bay and against Arizona will play into that as well. But with the pads on, how have you viewed how Raidens and Petit-Frere and – Aaron Brewer and Jamarco Jones, all those guys have held up so far during camp?
Well, I've viewed their being a bigger gap at left guard than at right tackle. I think Aaron Brewer, you know, really has just come on strong. They like him a lot, and you know, he seems to have a good thing going with Lawan. So I feel like there's a bigger gap there. It's harder to tell at right tackle, but that's the thing, is one thing you're looking for is because look, at some positions there is a lot of rotation, you know, and there are opportunities with the ones for certain players, and usually that's the case when there's more of a competition. So are those other guys getting those looks, or are they just sticking with the twos? That's something that alone tells you something. And then obviously you get to see who they're going against, and if they're going against the ones, then they're going to be going against guys like Simmons and Landry and Dupree. You know, well, maybe not Dupree today, but you know, you're going to get better looks, you're going to get better feel. So just the opportunity is one thing to find out, and it gives you a little glimpse of what the coaches are thinking. But I definitely think, especially at right tackle, that you know, Dylan Radin shouldn't be feeling, you know, safe right now. I mean, it's open. I mean, it's there to be contested.
And with Bud Dupree apparently not out there today, we get back into our favorite training camp game, Joe, of guessing whether or not somebody's hurt or if they're just a nice veteran day off today.
Yeah, and he'd be one of those guys, certainly, that you would anticipate would get one of those. Vrabel does those. He just randomly says, you know what, here's your off day. And especially with guys who have achieved a certain amount or have been in the league a certain amount of time, and you know, in the case of Dupree, you're still talking about a guy who's had a very serious injury. So, yeah, if it gets to day two, that's when you're like, oh, okay, so something's up.
Exactly. What have you made of Theo Jackson so far during camp? We talked about him a lot heading into camp. In terms of, could he make a push for, you know, that a safety role on this team? Obviously, you know, Hooker and Byard are going to be your starting pair there, but the depth at safety is a concern. Have you noticed Theo Jackson one way or the other so far in camp?
Yes, for sure. And I think it's been mostly good. I haven't noticed like a lot of like busts or issues there. You know, he's been to me pretty solid in coverage. He moves well. Obviously in the spring he had some really good moments, and then he had some rookie looking moments. So right now I feel like he's pretty solidified, you know, with AJ Moore as like the backups, you know, to those starting safeties. So, but there's another spot where pads help you a little bit too. You can kind of see what someone has. I would say of those two, you know, Theo Jackson probably a little bit more physical. So, you know, how is he? And also, is he actually going to be in that tight end? I mean, look, you can do a lot of different things if you're going to man up a tight end, like on a third and long. It just happened to work out that Cruikshank just was good at it last year. They figured it out and they went to it. Doesn't mean that another safety has to be doing that. And if it is, maybe it's, you know, maybe it's Byard or Hooker too, right? But if they can find another guy who can do that stuff, they can do that. They have some very interesting, you know, defensive lineups that involve three plus safeties at times too. So I think so far it's been good. I like him trending toward making the team. Will he make a difference on the field this year? That's harder to say.
Chris on the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, says, Joe, remember no cookies or chips at training camp. It's coming from Chris in Fairview. So we've already started the Joe Rex Road health monitoring on the text line.
Well, and they've got these little things of candy, but mini candy bars in the media room, and I've just been absolutely pillaging it. So hold me to account.
I will take a picture,
one.
Joe, of you if you do it.
That's right.
That's fine. That's what I want. I need. It takes a village to raise me into a less portly young man.
Joe, have yourself a wonderful time out at Titans training camp today.
All right. See you guys tomorrow.
We have Chase, Willie, and D-Mace coming up next. They'll be live from St. Thomas Sports Park at Titans training camp, day number two of the pads. So some hitting going on out there today as well. That does it for us. We'll be back 6 a.m. tomorrow. You're listening to 102.5, 106.3, The Game.